بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد ابن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, dear guests, my young friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. We begin with the greeting and prayers of peace upon all of us, and we praise Allah Azza wa Jal, the Lord of the universe, and we send peace and salutations upon His beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We live in an age of information. Information is available on our fingertips, and nowadays we don't even necessarily need to type anything because we have Siri and other digital assistants to help us with whatever information we need. And this new age of information and access to information affects the way we approach the acquisition of information and knowledge. So when we need a weather update, perhaps in the past we would open the newspaper, or we would wait for the 6 o'clock news for the weather person to tell us what's the weather forecast for the following day. But now we're not dependent on that anymore, right? We have easy access to weather and to news. When I was a child and we needed to do a project at school, we would go to the library, open up a world book, encyclopedia, or Britannica. Nowadays it's Wikipedia, but don't use it for your research because it's a very unreliable source for information, or it can be. And similarly, when it comes to knowledge about our faith, we also, you know, have changed the way we approach the knowledge of faith, the knowledge of deen. You know, once I was talking to a group of young university students, I'm very close to, good friends, good kids. And I said, you know, when you have a question, when you want to know something about your religion, you have a question about your deen, where do you go? Who do you ask? And I said, well, I'm like, you know, just be honest, right? You know, there's no formality here. Just tell the truth. So, you know, to be honest, you know, we just go on YouTube, right? We search for the question that we have on YouTube. And on other sites, of course, we have access to speakers from around the world. There's numerous, you know, fatwa sites where you can go get various religious opinions, to the point where we even start calling Google a mufti. You know, people say, ask Mufti Google, or you ask Sheikh YouTube, right? Because you can now go and you can do fatwa shopping, right? You can look around, see which one sounds right, sounds easy, you know, or which person sounds like they know what they're talking about. Right, you have various satellite channels where, you know, people turn to now for edutainment, right? So they're educating themselves while being entertained to some degree as well. There's online courses, of course. We have various types of conferences that take place. We have weekend courses and so on and so forth, right? So the access to information, it appears, and to knowledge, appears to have opened up in a great way. And conventional wisdom suggests that such a, you know, burst of information and knowledge would make it easier for us to learn about things, in particular to learn about our faith and to practice our faith. But we all know what's happening instead. What's happening instead is, for many of us, we're just left confused, right? Because there's such a wide spectrum of views and approaches and different, you know, segments in the community, different types of scholars associated with, you know, different groups and so on. So we've got a problem. And, you know, sooner or later, all of us end up having some sort of issue, some sort of problem where we need guidance, right? We have a question that needs to be answered. We have a situation we're in with our families, with ourselves, with regards to our faith, with regards to our relationships and our dealings and our transactions, that, you know, we need guidance and we need help. Because none of us knows it all, right? No matter how knowledgeable we may be, You know, no matter how learned we may be or accomplished we may be, at some point we all need guidance. And even the greatest of our scholars, you know, now and in the past, have always had mentors, have always had someone else that they look up to, because as human beings, none of us is perfect, and none of us has, you know, complete understanding, none of us has complete vision. So we always, at some point, will need someone to look up to and someone to seek help from and seek assistance and seek knowledge from. When it comes to our health, we all agree, everyone agrees, that the best thing to do is to have a family doctor, right? A family practice, a family doctor who knows us, who knows our history, our medical history, who knows our family, who understands what's going on, not just from a physical, you know, medical, just health point of view, but also mentally, emotionally, in terms of our families, our relationships, and so on and so forth. And we know them. We get to build a relationship with our doctors. We know how they practice medicine. We know their approaches. We know their bedside manners and so on. And we are able to build trust. So there's a relationship of trust between us and our doctors. Doctors understand us. We trust them with their knowledge. Similarly, it's important for us to know who to trust when in need of religious guidance. And this is of utmost importance, especially nowadays, because of the wide array of information and knowledge that is available to us. And the question is, you know, who do I follow? And this is a question that comes up in the minds of many. And some of us ask, and I've heard this question, you know, how am I supposed to know who to follow when I need assistance, especially when it comes to faith? When it comes to matters of my deen, if I look around, a lot of people look like scholars. A lot of people, well, everyone claims to be legitimate. No one's going to say, hey, I'm wrong, don't follow me. Nobody says that. Okay, so everyone claims to be right. A lot of people look like scholars. And at the end of the day, you're like, okay, like, how do I decide? What do I base my decision on in trying to figure out who to approach and who to build that connection of trust with when it comes to matters of my faith? And what do we base it on? Because we don't have enough knowledge on every single matter to judge, you know, every single person who's out there who appears to have knowledge and who appears to be a scholar. And if I decide to go with whatever is easier, simply because it is easy, so that's what happens usually when we're fatwa shopping, right? You're fatwa shopping, you try to find the ruling that's the easiest, right? You want to make life easier for yourself. And of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also mentioned that deen is our faith is meant to be easy. It's not to be meant to be something which is, you know, very difficult or harsh upon us. But the problem is that if I base my decision simply if I base it simply on ease and what I like and what I desire, then that is also a problem, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَى فَيُضِلَّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Right? He told Dawood alayhi salam, Prophet David, do not follow your desires, for it will mislead you from the path of God. Do not follow your desires, because it will mislead you from the path of God, from the straight path. So we have to be very careful that we don't bring our desires, what we like, right, into the equation, because we want to do what's most correct, we want to do what is most, you know, right. We don't want to be worshipping our own selves. We don't want to be those who simply just do what they feel like doing and that's it. Right? Because if we follow that path, then that's not a path to goodness. That's not the path that's actually going to help us, but in the long run, it's going to end up hurting us instead. So we don't want to do that. So then, that begs the question, you know, who do we turn to? How do we figure this out? And there's one simple answer, and then there's a longer answer. Okay, so the simple answer is, I can't tell you. The simple answer is, I can't tell you. You've got to figure that on your own. But I can tell you what guidelines you can use, to try to answer that question. You know, Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, great scholar of the past, known for his dream interpretation encyclopedia, his book. He says, "Inna hadha al-'ilm deenun, fanzuru 'amman ta'khudhuna deenakum." You know, with emphasis, this is the matter of your faith. Right? Like guys, this is important. Fanzuru, so look at, you know, pay attention to who you're taking your faith from, the knowledge of your faith. And the knowledge of your deen, pay attention to who you're taking it from, because this is something serious. Right? This is a serious matter. It's not just, you know, somebody gives you advice, you know, on buying a car, and then you end up buying, you know, a bad car or a lemon or whatever, and then, you know, you suffer for a few years, you get rid of it, you lose some money. Okay. Consequences, maybe a bit painful, you know, the car doesn't start in the morning, breaks down on the highway, whatever, but in the long run, the consequences are not that serious, not that severe. But when it comes to your faith, this has long-term implications, right, on your life and in the hereafter as well. So be very meticulous and be very careful about who you decide to take your deen from, the knowledge of your faith from, because this is not a light matter. And you know, my brothers and sisters, the fact of the matter is that just because I'm standing here and talking to you, I can't say that you should just follow me in everything, or that I'm 100% correct in everything that I do. Right? Most probably I'm not. I'm a human being, I make mistakes, I don't understand everything. I have shortcomings. There's a lot more people out there who are more knowledgeable than I am, right? So I can't tell you that, yeah, just follow me, be like me, and you'll be alright. Or, I can't tell you either that you should just follow a person because he or she looks religious, right? Appears to be religious. Or because a person has studied a lot. Or because such and such person really speaks well. And you get an iman boost, you get a boost of faith, an iman rush when you hear their lectures. Right? That may be great as a short-term benefit, but that's not something to base, you know, to build a relationship of trust on, just because someone speaks well. Right? The Prophet has told us that inna fil kalam yasih, right? That in speech, there's an element of magic sometimes. Right? Meaning that it can have, you know, great effects. Words can be put together in certain ways that they have great, you know, effect, or it seems like it's very profound, it's very deep, right? And it may very well be so, but, right, but that doesn't mean that the person that who's speaking is necessarily trustworthy, or that, at least that, you know, that you can trust your faith with them. So you need to decide who you're going to trust and who you're going to look up to, okay, when it comes to matters of faith. And here's how. So here are a few suggestions, and I'm not claiming that this is the perfect criteria, but here are a few suggestions to figure this out. Okay. First of all, very important that we recite the Quran, and we recite it with a particular objective in mind. You know, you may do it for various reasons, for blessings, for reward, for guidance. That's all great. But in particular, recite. Look at the meaning and note down the qualities of the believers. Note down the qualities of the believers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about, that He likes, that He speaks about positively. And you also look at the characteristics of the hypocrites, the munafiqun, and the other characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about, in particular the people that He does not speak very highly of. Right? So note down the characteristics, the qualities. Read the biography, study the biography of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. Right? Note his qualities, the beautiful characteristics, the mannerisms, right? How he would deal with people, right? How he would help people, his compassion, his kindness, his mercy, his smile. Right, so note down all of these various characteristics and build a framework in mind of how he was. Right, we have descriptions. Right, we don't have images, of course, for the most part, but we have descriptions. Right, and we have all these qualities and characteristics. So build a framework. And of course, if he was here with us, alive, then we would go straight to him for guidance. Right, you wouldn't go to anyone else. Right? If you had access to the Prophet ﷺ, of course, we would go directly to him and we would go speak to him and ask him for guidance in all, you know, all matters of relevance. But we don't have access to him in that way. So then what we do is we try to search for those, the scholars who are closest in as many ways as possible to the Prophet ﷺ, and we follow them. Okay, so we got the qualities of the good qualities of the believers. You have the characteristics of the hypocrites and those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has looked down upon. We figure all that out because those are the qualities you don't want in the scholars you follow. And the qualities that you do want are the qualities of the believers. The qualities that you do want are the qualities of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So you build that framework and then you start this journey. And it's a journey because sometimes it takes time. Right? We're used to instant, you know, answers, instant, you know, gratification. We're just used to everything happening very quickly. Sometimes it takes time. It takes time to figure this out. This journey can sometimes take a while. We start looking around, and it's okay to experiment, to listen to people, to evaluate, but it needs to be based on certain criteria. So some of the criteria, some of the elements of the criteria have been mentioned by Imam Ghazali rahimahullah. He has written about it, and here are some of them. Not all of his list, but here are some. So number one, under all conditions, they should wear a true expression of being inspired with the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنَ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. Those who are truly fearful of Allah, meaning, you know, consciously have the reverent fear and have the conscious, understand the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He's watching, and that they're accountable for their deeds to Him. So those are the people among His servants who have knowledge. So with knowledge goes taqwa, the consciousness, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so those have to go together. And because, and this is really, really important because this impacts everything else. This impacts everything else. Right? So if you have a person who behaves, now of course you can't judge how pious someone is and how conscious someone is of God, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you can get a sense because that, you know, lives in the heart. Right? So you can't really look into someone's heart and figure it out. But what you can do is look at their actions. You can look at their actions and their behavior, and you can see, does this appear to be someone who is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is this someone who is, you know, fearful of the accountability that they have towards God or not? So that's number one. Number two, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah says that a true alim, a true scholar, is one who does not try to acquire wealth through his learning. Okay? He's not looking for worldly benefit. He's not looking to get rich or trying to live a life of luxury or extravagance off the teachings of faith. He's not using the deen to get rich and to make money. You know, sometimes it's very visible. You know, buy my CDs. If you want to learn, you know, you've got to buy my CDs. Or you've got to come to the course where you have to, you know, you sign up for my courses. Or, you know, people are raking in millions of dollars off of faith. And the teaching of faith. Something wrong with that picture. There's something wrong with that picture. Now that's not to say that they don't deserve to be paid for their time and their effort. Because of course, the scholars also need to survive. They have families. They need to feed themselves and maintain themselves. Right? So I'm not suggesting that there should be, you know, you've got to look for someone who absolutely does not take anything. Even though it's good, especially if someone doesn't. But it's understandable, especially nowadays, that the scholars, because they're spending so much time in the work of deen, in the work of faith, that they get paid for their time and their efforts, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it should not be a means of acquiring and amassing wealth, and living with luxury, and just getting rich. Okay? Well, the Prophet ﷺ has told us that إِنَّ الْعُلَمَاءَ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. The scholars are the heirs of the prophets. وَإِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَمْ يُوَدِّثُوا دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا. For the prophets did not leave behind dinars or dirhams, meaning wealth. That was not what they left behind. What they left behind was ilm, knowledge. وَإِنَّمَا وَرَثُوا الْعِلْمَ. Rather, they left behind knowledge. So this tells us that the true scholars are those whose focus is on knowledge and not on wealth. Right? They're in the business of knowledge. learning, teaching, passing it on, understanding, researching. This is what their focus is on. Their focus is not on making money. Okay? So this should be very, very clear. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah goes on, scholar should be one who has studied with deep insight, not lightly, the various branches of knowledge. Or someone who has actually studied. Right? And traditionally, what studied actually means is that you learn from someone. You learn from a person of knowledge and piety, that you have that connection. It's not like do-it-yourself Islam, right? It's not like you sit online, read a few books, watch a few lectures, you know, really focus on something, and then you become a scholar. You know what I call them? I call them armchair scholars. Armchair scholars, right? People who sit on the computer. It's great if you have the zeal for knowledge, and you're studying at home, and you're reading up stuff. That's great. I'm not trying to discourage you from doing that, right? But what does that person consider themselves to be? Consider themselves to be a student of knowledge, right? Not a scholar. Because a lot of times these armchair scholars are causing trouble, right? Going and doing things which are inappropriate, going online, getting debates and arguments on message boards and on Facebook, right? These are armchair scholars, right? You don't want to take your deen from armchair scholars. Okay, you got to take it from true scholars. Okay, so studied with depth, with insight, and in particular from people of knowledge and piety. Fourthly, there should be no contradiction between the knowledge and the practice of deen. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like that someone preaches something but doesn't act upon it. Right? So there's got to be a link between the two. So what he says, she or he also does. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah mentions simplicity. Okay, so the least interested in the elegance of dress and delicacies of food. Simplicity should be what the scholar is about. Okay? Simplicity is what we need. The Prophet ﷺ left an example of simplicity. Now, simplicity doesn't mean, you know, being ugly or being messy. Right? You could have someone or something which is simple, but also beautiful. Okay? Simple, and could still be beautiful. Right? So it doesn't have to be filthy, it doesn't have to be dirty. But this is a sign to look for. Simplicity. Sixth, keeps away from the rulers and never visits them without any necessity. Okay? And keeps away from the rulers and never visits them without necessity. Because a scholar who gets too close to rulers, people in power, this can become a source of fitna, of trials and tribulations for them, and they can become easily influenced. So it's not to say that we shun all, you know, rulers and our leaders. Of course, we work with them, we try to advise them, and we support, you know, whoever is doing that which is good, of course, and we are engaged, you know, in the process, civic and political participation, very important. But for the scholar, there should be some distance between themselves and those in power. Otherwise, this can become a means of influencing and corrupting their approach and their knowledge. Does not take hasty decisions when giving verdicts, and are very careful in giving advice on religious matters. Doesn't go around, you know, yelling out fatwas at the corner of the street, right? Just giving out rulings, bashing people, you know, giving rash, you know, rulings. This halal, haram, this, that, kafir, this, that. No, this is not the approach of the true scholar. True scholar is very careful about matters of faith, about giving decisions with due deliberation and a process and thinking about matters deeply. And also not ashamed of admitting ignorance on a matter. Ibn Mas'ud rahimahullah says that whoever knows then must speak, and whoever does not know then he must say that I don't know. Because saying I don't know is a part of knowledge. It's a part of being a scholar to say I don't know when you don't know something. This is actually a sign of knowledge. A lot of times we look at someone who says, I don't know, and we say, well, you know, this person is not a scholar, he's not knowledgeable because he doesn't know. But no, the fact that he realizes that he doesn't know and he's not, or she is not ashamed to admit it, that is a sign of knowledge. That is a kind of sign of scholarship. That you're honest and you admit it, say, I don't know about this matter. You should ask someone else. Then also, I'll add a few more that I've also come across I've thought of. So a scholar who is particular about following what is obligatory, who values the tradition, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, who stays away from that which is prohibited, but not just that, because that's expected from everyone, but also stays away from that which is undesirable, which is dubious, or just actions which are considered to be blameworthy. So they may be perfectly, you know, they may be halal, or they may be, you know, okay for the vast majority of people, but the scholar is one who is extra careful in his or her conduct. Right, who is sincere, does not want fame or publicity, is not worried about promoting him or herself, is not worried about self-promotion and trying to get likes on their Facebook page. Right? That's not the approach of the true scholar. Who is good-hearted, always wants to do what's good, who wants good, and wants to do what is right, is caring, looking out for people, doesn't fight unnecessarily, or learn and debate to show off knowledge or just to defeat others. Oh, I really need to win an argument, so I'm going to go out and I really need to study. No, this is not the approach of the true scholar. The true scholar is not proud of his knowledge, is not arrogant about it. Conceitful pride, the feeling, you know, of having knowledge is power. And power can make a person conceitful and arrogant, right? And this is not the approach of a scholar. And the basics, of course, should be honest, should not be lying, should not be deceiving, should have good manners, should not be backbiting and mocking others, making fun of people. If you see this happening in a gathering of people of knowledge, you've got a problem. If there's a people who are considered to be people of knowledge and they're backbiting and they're mocking others, you've got an issue there. Right? And respect for others, even in disagreement. So other people of knowledge and taqwa of piety, even if there's a disagreement, there is respect there. And finally, the most important one I would say for us today is to be familiar with your context and the time and place you're operating in, to understand your situation and your circumstances. Right? So before, my brothers and sisters, we take our faith or deen from anyone, we must look for these characteristics and these qualities. And as I said, it can take time, it's a journey. Finding the right guide can take time, but no one is perfect. Right? So we can't try to find every single quality in a person, but we try to find as many as we can. And we look for the good qualities to outweigh the negatives. The Prophet ﷺ said, when honesty is lost, then wait for the hour. Wait for the day of judgment when honesty is lost. So he was asked, how will honesty be lost, O Prophet of Allah? So he said, when authority is given to those who do not deserve it, then wait for the hour. When authority is given to those who do not deserve it, then you know that you're getting close to the end of times. Umar radiallahu anhu said, what I fear most for my nation is a hypocrite who is scholarly. A hypocrite who is scholarly. So people asked, how can a hypocrite be scholarly? He replied, by being scholarly through his tongue, but ignorant in his heart and in his actions. Scholarly through the tongue, but ignorant in the heart and in his actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. May Allah azza wa jal guide us to everything that is right. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being misguided. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all safe. Ameen wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We have an important event tonight. It is a series of lectures which we have occasionally, Living the Love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the speaker is